Christmas Eve is both a holy night and a happy night. And in that double spirit, we have prepared our program. Because this is also a time for joyous giving, we want you to consider each of our songs a little Christmas gift to you, our good friends. And since so much of tonight's music is sacred, I hope you will kindly refrain from applause.
Aves te fidelis, lady triumphantes, venite, venite in Bethlehem. Nodum videte, regem angelorum, venite adoremus, venite adoremus, venite adoremus, Dominum. Joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him.
Happy you're along tonight. That was our little reprise from a program that hasn't been heard in 65 years on radio. Mario Lanza singing Adeste Fideles, and in New Zealand standing by is our Mario Lanza expert, our friend of many, many years, Lindsay Perigo. Are you there, Linz?
I'm here. Are you hearing me?
I do, oddly enough, through the miracle of modern communications, which sometimes does strange things. But I hear you fine.
That's good. It is extraordinary, isn't it? I didn't hear the beginning of the program, so naturally I'm curious to know if you got Mario's own introduction to the song.
I did, and he was never better, and we did play the entire intro and the song.
Excellent. Well, we're on course then. I seem to be on an hour early, but I'm all set to go.
I'm not sure exactly what happened here, but you're here and I'm here, and it is the night before Christmas Eve, and that's all that counts. So we made it.
No. It is Christmas Eve. You keep forgetting, Jeff, that we're ahead of you. It is Christmas Eve here.
Oh, God. Happy Christmas Eve, Lindsay.
And the same to you. And, of course, when I auditioned Mario doing that introduction, talking about Christmas Eve, I thought, oh, we can't use that because it won't be Christmas Eve over there. And then I thought, but it's Christmas Eve where it matters. We're ahead of you as always, but you're ahead of us only in one respect, which is a bad one, that you're further down the slippery slope to political correctness and socialism with that awful incumbent in the White House who's there at the moment.
We're also ahead of you in debt. We're only $18 trillion in debt, so don't worry about that. You'll never have a thing to worry. We'll easily trounce you every time.
I think we're doing pretty well in the debt stakes. We had many years of free-spending governments who were completely irresponsible with other people's money. But I don't think, you know, even taking the relative values into account, that we remotely approach the level of debt that your president has taken you into. I, frankly, can't see your nation surviving.
Frankly, it won't as it was. It will never be as it once was, never to be again. There is an agenda. This man's job is to employ that agenda and to force it down our throats, and they're doing a damn good job of it. Unfortunately, the American people don't seem to have the resolve or the resiliency or the backbone or the courage to stand up. Not even one member in our so-called Congress, Lindsay, can stand up and literally could go down in history by making an historic speech telling simply the truth about the tragedy that has befallen this country. It's that bad.
Telling the truth and calling for impeachment. This is what I find extraordinary, that the man is committing impeachable offenses left, right, and center.
Correct.
And he's being called on it. If this were Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan, he'd be out by now. He'd have been ejected.
Richard Nixon was a Boy Scout compared to what's going on here now. Patriot Act, the NDAA, so many other things. Now we find out about the tort. I don't want to bring these things up on your Christmas Eve, but they're facts. I mean, this country has been guilty of torture on a scale that literally boggles the mind. That BS report that came out barely touched the tip of the proverbial iceberg. This country has become, through no fault of its citizens directly, although in a passive sense they are at fault, we have become the great Satan on the planet that we have been called by many in the Middle East and other places. And that is a true loss for the world, because at one point, 60 years ago, when the song we just heard was recorded and the introduction to it was spoken to a nationwide audience, America was at its zenith. It led the world. It was the light to the world. People looked to this country for leadership, for inspiration, for how to do it. And look how far we have fallen. My God, just in the last 10 to 15 years, look how far we have fallen. It's truly unbelievable, but it's happened.
Well, I think we can draw the parallel. You mentioned a few minutes ago that we'll never see again the America that was. And I would agree, in terms of the America that was founded in 1776 on the basis of the individual's inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to protect such rights, governments are instigated amongst men. My wording isn't 100% correct, but you know that part of the Declaration of Independence. That America does no longer exist. And just as we won't see it again, unless we're very, very fortunate and something fortuitous happens that we can't predict, neither will we hear again a voice like that of Mario Lanza. And that's even more of a fact, I think, because he was such a miracle of nature. I think we can confidently say we just will not hear that again.
No question, in my mind and in the minds of many of our listeners who have actually over the years I've been playing Mario on the program, and certainly in the last few years when you've been on with me, it has been quite a process. People open their minds and sit, and all of a sudden they get it. They get that they're hearing something that they will never hear the likes of again, ever. He continues to this day to inspire singers the world over. And I have some, I'm going to find them here in a minute. There are some quotes about Lanza that were written in very prestigious publications in that newest newsletter that your article appeared in. And I'll find them and I'll read them as we go along. This is Christmas Eve. In New Zealand and Australia and that part of the world, so we can assure you there will be a Christmas Eve tomorrow night. Very happy about that. And we can move on to our second selection. We're going to try to play as many Christmas songs. I sent you about 6 or 8 emails and didn't get a response from any of them.
I haven't received those. I'm sorry. I haven't. There must have been a bit of a delay. They haven't come through.
Well, it's one of those time warp, timeless delays, I guess. All right. Here is a song called The Virgin's Slumber Song. Now, interestingly enough, Mario and Betty, his wife, had 4 children. Colleen was a very close friend of mine for years, and her favorite song that Mario would come and sing to her at night when she would go to sleep as a little girl was The Virgin's Slumber Song. And here it is.
Amid the roses Mary sits and rocks her Jesus child, while amid the treetops sighs the breeze so warm and mild. And soft and sweetly sings a bird upon the bough, a baby dear one.
Was that you singing in the background?
Oh, my God, did you hear that? I thought you'd have my microphone down.
No, that's something we can't control on this end. Skype.
Slumber now. Yes, that was me.
That was very nice, especially a cappella there. With the rest of the orchestra and the ensemble, it got a little strange. We didn't know who was singing. It was a voice from the netherworld.
Yes, it was. I can tell you something funny about the writer of that hymn, Jeff, Max Reger, R-E-G-E-R. He was a German composer, and he was quite prolific, even though very little of his work is remembered these days.
He had opus numbers that went way over 100.
Yes, and rather like Mario, his relationship with critics was somewhat strained. Generally, they gave him bad reviews, and he, on one occasion, got a bad review, and he wrote to the critic subsequently, saying, "Dear so-and-so, I'm sitting in the smallest room in my house. I have your review in front of me. Very soon, it will be behind me." I thought that's a sentiment that Mario must have often entertained himself, given some of the snotty reviews he got.
That is interesting. Max Reger wrote that. If you look up composers, R-E-G-E-H-R, I believe it's spelled, he was incredibly prolific, and only a few of his later works actually ever made what we would call prominence on the concert stage and were played fairly often. There was an organ symphony or an organ concerto with symphony. It was a very interesting piece, but I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had composed that. I didn't know it was the same Reger. Interesting.
Oh, that's the same one, and that probably is the best remembered of everything that he wrote. He was an organist himself. He wrote everything, really, except operas and symphonies, everything else, and he saw himself as continuing the tradition of the great classical composer Bach and also Beethoven and Brahms. Mm-hmm. There's an interesting connection between Brahms and Mario, which I'm sure I'll get a chance to touch on later in the program as well. But maybe we should just establish that the theme of today is Mario Lanza and all the things sacred. In other words, not just Christmas, but we'll play as much Christmas material as we can. But he really brought a sense of the sacred to everything he sang. So it didn't matter whether he was singing about love or nature or life or women, or, as in the case of one track that we have lined up, trees. He made them sound absolutely sacred. And I think, therefore, it's appropriate that we make a sense of the sacred, the reverent, reverence for life.
Very nicely said. You know, here is a song, Trees, which was basically taken from the Joyce Kilmer poem and set to music. In fact, that's exactly what happened. And how do you take a poem and make it musically beautiful? And I remember Terry Robinson telling me that when Terry went with Mario, would drive him to the recording studio and was with him virtually for every recording he made in California, Southern California, and on tour, when he went on his national tour. I think he went twice. At any rate, Terry said that Trees, of all of his songs that he was witness to, Trees moved him. He said he wept at the end of it, and he said it was delivered with such beauty that he was Mario's best friend, and he still couldn't believe what he had just heard. And we can play that right now, and hopefully everything is sounding good at the studio. So here we go. This is Joyce Kilmer's poem, Trees. You've heard it. I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. And it goes on from there. So let's listen to how it is sung by Mario Lanza.
I think that I shall never see a poem lovely as a tree. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against
against the earth's sweet flowing breeze. The tree that looks at God all day and lifts her summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, upon whose bosom snow has lain, who intimately lives with rain.
Quite a beautiful musical landscape for the lyrics to be performed on, and that's one thing that people don't remember. So many of these songs that Lanza did and gave definitive readings of were written musically for him with perfection by Ray Sinatra, Frank Sinatra's cousin, by the way, and that was as beautiful as it gets. A poem set to music.
A poem lovely as a tree. And you know, Jeff, what makes that performance remarkable and yet typical of Mario Lanza is how different it is from anyone else's. As you say, it was set to music in the 1920s by Oscar Rasbach to Joyce Kilmer's lyrics. And if you listen to the various artists who recorded it, they did very well, but it was like, I think that I shall never. And you listen to him come in and he speaks the words as much as he sings them. Mm-hmm. I think that I shall never see. And just makes it so much more personal and intimate and heartfelt and meaningful. Taking nothing away from any of the other great performers of that song, he made it special, as he did with most of the material he performed.
Exactly. All right, on that note, let's pause for a couple of minutes and we'll come right back as Linz and I continue. Okay, and we're back. Jeff and Linz, he is in New Zealand. I'm here on the West Coast, up in the Northwest. But wherever you are, we wish you the very best for the holiday season. Merry Christmas. And whatever it is, it doesn't really matter what religion you ascribe to. This is a time of year that is usually reserved by almost all religions, at least in a social setting, to wish everyone and to look upon the blessings that we still have left. And they are vanishing very rapidly. But we still have wonderful and beautiful things that we can take within us and revel in and enjoy and occasionally share with other people. And these songs are very beautiful in so many ways. They are religious in some ways, but it's not the words so much, it's the message. And the message comes through on many different levels. This this next one is very unique. It was written for a motion picture, and yet really ought to be in the pantheon of the truly great religious pieces of music that had ever been offered before and have ever been offered since it was composed. Tell us a story about I'll Walk with God, kind of a title that would give you a preconception, but wait until you hear the song.
Are you going to be using the version I sent to you yesterday, Jeff?
Yes.
Need to know this.
Yes. You're the guest, and that's exactly what I intend to do. Let me read. I found those segments in the newsletter, Bill Ronayne's newsletter, that are very important. I'm going to read them because they do describe from peers, from great singers, their reaction to this voice that just doesn't, it's never going to happen again. It's interesting. Bill writes, "It's extremely rare for someone to possess all of the attributes that make a great singer. Voice, musicality, diction, intelligence, artistic temperament, and that extra factor that makes a singer unique. All were gifts that nature bestowed upon Mario Lanza. Add to these attributes, add to them, good looks, considerable charisma, and a vibrant personality, and you have the ideal package. Lanza's voice can only be described as phenomenal. On hearing the then 21-year-old tenor sing, Boston Symphony Orchestra conductor Serge Koussevitzky promptly granted him a scholarship on the spot, hailing his voice as a gift that comes along, quote, once in 100 years. The great bass baritone George London, who toured extensively with Lanza for 2 seasons throughout the United States, Canada, and Mexico in countless concerts, called it, quote, the most beautiful voice in the world and the greatest singing instrument ever bestowed on a human being. Now, George London is a legend in his own genre of bass baritones. That the compliments, again, the people just run out of words, as I have many times. In more recent times, Eric Myers, writing in Opera News, stated that Lanza's voice is rich, ripe, unmistakable, a huge column of spinto sound. It mixes Italian et ardor with a very American brightness. There has never been another American tenor with such an astonishing concentration of gifts. And the last thing I'll read, the Maltese tenor Oreste Kirkop, a contemporary of Lanza, in fact, once gave an apt description of the latter's singing. He stated, quote, I always liked Lanza's vitality and temperament. To me, his singing of Que Gelida Menina from La Boheme, which he sang in his excellent film, The Great Caruso, is unmatched by any tenor. I am fascinated by the feeling he puts into it. I think Lanza, in fact, died a little bit every time he sang. He was so generous with his singing, end quote. And I think that's a very apt thing to submit. Very interesting. All right, now go ahead, Lenz.
I hadn't realized it was Oreste who said that he died a little each time he sang.
Yeah.
But that entirely has to be the case when you hear the energy and passion and total conviction that goes into it. Incidentally, since you're quoting there from Bill Ronayne's newsletter, I think we should encourage as many people as possible who are listening out there to subscribe to that, because it does bring together hugely interesting articles from a variety of sources. I know that I have an article in the current issue, which I haven't yet received, but mine is based on my last appearance on your show, Jeff, where we talked about the extraordinary vowel sounds extraordinarily pure vowel sounds that Mario made. But
yes,
Bill is doing a great job, and he's obviously assembled some wonderful quotations there, so I'm really looking forward to getting my copy. Hint, hint, Bill. Oh, I know he sent it.
Yeah, your hint, hint, Bill. Here, send him another one. the piece that you wrote and is in there is very nicely done indeed, and I think gives the entire issue another dimension of specialness. It's very important. Well, all right, go ahead.
I did promise you last time that I would get the word phosphorescence into the article, and I did.
You certainly did. All right. Here is I'll Walk with God, which is a truly magnificent song, and I hope you like it. This, again, is part of our observance of the Christmas holiday season, no matter what your religion. And I think the emotion and the intent of this cuts across all religious barriers and speaks universally. And here we go. Staggering. Yeah.
It's staggering.
The chorus, they call it a decay in music sometimes. The choral decay after he finished was really quite magnificently beautiful, too. It just has a little accent at the end. Very end.
Well,
very nice.
That's as it was in the movie. Clearly, whoever did the mixing for the movie was much kinder to Mario than whoever did the mixing
for the LP.
Separate channels for the LP. Now, we should remember that he recorded that with organ only, and I just live for the day they release him and the organ and no extraneous interpolations from later dates. We just hear the raw original, and I'm sure you remember Terry's story of what that was like, and everyone had tears rolling down their faces.
Correct. Absolutely. There's another song we're going to play in our second hour that is available in organ only from the film track of Because You're Mine, and it's available with the full orchestral and choral backing on an RCA CD, so I'll leave that up to you as to which you'd rather hear as we progress in our second hour. We have to take a break now, and we'll come right back. Okay, here we are back with hour two. Lindsay Perrigo and Jeff, your host. Now, the If You Were Mine CD, Lindsay, has the part I was asking about. It's called Mario Doing Scales, but it doesn't mention More Than a Million. Is that the correct one?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, we'll set this up in such a way. What I wanted to do, this is fun because it's Mario at home with his firstborn, Colleen, and they have gotten a home tape recorder, and he's talking to her, and you'll hear him talking to her, and he'll say, one day you'll be able to listen to this, and it's kind of cute. What else do you want to add to that?
Well, we did say that the theme for tonight's program is Mario Lanza and all things sacred. Of course, nothing was more sacred to him than his family. And here we hear him, as you say, with his firstborn daughter, who must have been an extraordinarily bright young thing to come back to him when he says, how much do you love me, sweetheart? And she says, oh, a million. And he says, you mean to tell me you love me only a million? She comes back and says, more than a million. He says, you mean to tell me you only love me more than a million? And she says, I don't know, the highest number there is. Now, this is a 3 or 4 year old kid, yeah, coming back with a line like that. I mean, she of all the children, as I recall, was the most like him in her personality and vibrance. And of course, she was tragically lost in what seemed to have been a Kennedy-like saga of disasters in the family. But I remember her as, indeed, I remember her as an adult, and I never met her, but had several long telephone conversations with her. And you've actually met her and undoubtedly can verify what I'm saying. She was one very bright personality.
She never got over his death, and to her very end, the pain was never, it never left her. She snuck into the house in Rome where they had brought him home from the hospital after he had died and had him on the sofa, and she was to be kept out. She went around the back and climbed in a window and saw him and threw herself on him, and that was, she never got over that. And she used to call, this is many years ago, at all hours of the night, 2, 3, 4, and just tell me stories, and sometimes she would cry, and all you could do was listen, and I heard things were astonishing. And she was, as you said correctly, as much like him, more like him than anyone else in the family.
And that's what I think we hear coming through in this interchange between, yeah, daddy and daughter.
Very
as he's
cute.
Experimenting with this new equipment.
Well, she loved her daddy. I hope this is the right track.
Track one.
That's what I don't know. How close to be to the mic?
That's the right one.
Thorn? Okay, 18 inches to 2 feet. Okay. Talking would be around here, huh?
They got their first home tape recorder.
Mm. Oh,
all right. Well, what do you want me to do first? Okay. All right, I'll talk to Colleen first. Colleen, honey. Sweetheart, can you hear me, honey? How much do you love me, sweetheart? What? Is that all you love me? You mean to tell me that you love me only more than a million? Oh, I see. The last number there is. Well, I love you, sweetheart, so, so much, you'll never know. How do you feel, honey?
Fine.
You really do? You love Mommy real much?
Yes.
You know what my... Oh, I know both. Do you know what Mommy's doing right now? Mommy's learning how to use this equipment, sweetheart, so that she could record Daddy. Isn't that goody? Oh, boy, is right. How do you feel, honey?
Fine.
All right. You keep feeling fine, sweetheart. Now, let me see. Daddy, you know what Daddy's going to do?
What?
Daddy's going to sing a few notes, honey. Yes. First he's going to speak a while, then he's going to sing. All right? Okay, let me take a second. Have you been taking the speaking down? Okay. Okay. By the way, this is a funny position where we're at in this room. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you.
She's applauding.
Thank you, my public. Hey, sweetheart. What are you doing, honey? Yes, darling.
Non temere che il mio tesore mio non voglio amarti bene nella dimora fra.
Now, we did everything. This is low notes, high notes, and speaking. Okay? All right. You stay there, honey. We'll play back. But don't get chilled.
Okay. That was awfully cute.
That's absolute magic, isn't it? Utterly enchanting. And as I say, you can hear the incipient Mario personality coming through in young Colleen. I think my favorite part is after he does that astonishing high note, high B flat, and she applauds, and he says, thank you, my public. It's priceless.
It is. Doesn't get any cuter than that. Okay, what shall we play next here for our dear listeners out there?
Well,
we have Guardian Angels, we have My Buddy, we have the Lord's Prayer, we have the finale, which I won't mention. We could do Silent Night. We could do whatever you would like.
Why don't we go to the secular realm again and play My Buddy? I think it's a song that Mario sings especially well, and that's saying a lot in his case.
It's, I want to say one thing. It's a song when men were allowed to have really great friends. Really great lifelong friends, and nothing was looked at it as being askance or odd, or it was about friendship. And
no Freudian analyses and what the hidden meaning was.
No.
And reading things into it that weren't there and so on. This is a simple longing for a deep, close friend. And again, in accordance with our theme of things sacred, we know how much Mario's friends meant to him.
Oh, yeah.
And that was notwithstanding that some of them let him down very badly. But he loved human beings. He loved humanity. And he wanted to be friends with everyone. And this song resonates with me as well, because when his son Damon died, and he was the one Mario offspring I knew really well. When Damon died, I went over and stayed with Bob and Marlene for a while, and quite often, if we thought we were up to it, we would play My Buddy and toast the absent Damon. And
I don't know how you got through that.
We didn't. I can tell you we didn't. But it was just, it's a song that, for me personally, is fraught with personal memories. And it's interesting to realize that the lyrics to it were written by Gus Kahn, who also wrote the lyrics to some of Mario's other greatest performances, like Memories and I'll See You in My Dreams, which you've used on your own CDs. But originally, guess whose picture appeared on the sheet music when it first came out? And we're going back to the 1920s now.
I couldn't guess.
Al Jolson.
Oh, my.
And that's fitting, too, because Mario was a great Al Jolson friend, a fan. And, of course, he would be, with all the feeling and commitment that Al Jolson himself put into his singing. Mario could certainly
And relate. I will bet, without question, that Mario could do a perfect Al Jolson.
Oh, well, he could do everyone else. Why not? Yeah. I bet he could, yeah.
Yeah. All right, now this is the song, My Buddy, from a different era, but a timeless and sincere. Listen to the sincerity and the feeling. This is why Terry Robinson, his best friend, may he rest in peace, didn't leave too long ago. And Terry would say to me, countless times to me over the years, that when Mario would finish singing, he would walk over to the side in the corner of the recording studio and he would sit down and no one would go near him. They knew not to. He was so expended with emotion. And that's why Orestes said, I think he died a little, or whoever said it, died a little bit every time he sang. And that's not being melodramatic. That's when you hear this, you'll understand. Now just listen to this. And then think of a normal singer singing this. You have singers, and then you have this. And this is not a normal singer. This is something out of this world.
Nights are long since you went away. I think about you all through the day, my buddy, my buddy. Nobody quite so true. Miss your voice, the touch of your hand, just long to know that you understand. My buddy, my buddy, your buddy, misses you. My buddy, my buddy, nobody quite so true. Miss your voice, the touch of your hand, just love to know that you understand.
stand, my body, my body, your body.
Okay, and I think all of you who have ears can hear that. It's not, I don't know what it is, Lindsay, but it really wasn't singing. It was something more than that. We need a new word for that. The interpretation, the readings went far beyond anything that really should have happened. And
well, you know, there's a lot of discussion at the moment about the new CDs that are coming out, and hearing your remark, I've just thought of what must be a title for some future CD, and that would be Mario Lanza, Beyond Singing. Because indeed, he does take it beyond. As we were discussing before when we were talking about trees, that everybody else comes in, I think that I, and it's all very formal and proper and precise, but he comes along and does it quite uniquely and with a dimension that no one else has the imagination to bring to it. As I say, no critique of them. It's just a tribute to him that he would always think of things that no one else did. Not just think of them, but put them into practice and feel them.
He became the words and took them and made them bloom.
That's it.
And I am going to produce more CDs, 3 or 4, and I'll definitely work with that idea in mind. Because I don't mean to belabor the point, but I know all of you listening care, and many of you have been fans for a long, long time and understand that this is something utterly unique. It's just, there's just no comparison. If you look at my website, David D's Art, he has taken political art and commentary to a level that no one has ever been there before and never will be. He is unique. He is peerless. And this was, in a oblique way, the same kind of superiority. No arrogance. Genuine, caring, kindness, heartfelt emanations from his soul. And this is where the man brought these words. Who was it that said, it might have been him, he brought the words up through his feet, all the way through his body, and through his heart, and then out through his throat.
Yeah, and he did. He said, I feel each note from the top of my head to the tips of my toes.
Yeah.
And I think it may have been in the same sequence of thoughts that he said, I sing each word as though it were my last on earth.
Yeah.
He began that by saying, I sing from the heart. So he said that himself.
Yeah.
And that's what you'd expect him to say, because that so clearly is what he does. I'm very glad that we now have, as a matter of the historical record, you're saying you're going to bring out some new CDs, because I have the exact program, which I posted on your forum. If among those is an all opera CD.
Oh, I saw that.
Yes. Oh, good.
I concur, and we're very close on that, so we'll work on it. Yeah.
And let's note, in the meantime, some two very exciting developments. One is the Derek McGovern Sepia CD, which is going to come out in February, called Mario Lanza Greatest Operatic Recordings, and the new all-opera CD that Derek Mannering is negotiating with Sony. I think we're in for a really good year.
It's going to be a very good year, yeah. Excellent. Good to hear. Derek McGovern, thank you for that. I didn't know you were working on one. Wonderful.
Oh,
okay.
He's resurrected some of Mario's best operatic performances, and that title, Greatest Operatic Recordings, is well and truly merited, and
good.
I'm very, very excited about it.
Well, that makes 2.5 of us at least. Okay. we have a lot of different ways we can go next. We should perhaps play I don't know what other Christmas songs are your favorite, since you're the guest. Silent Night we could do. Very, very gentle, very, very soft, very caring. We could do... I don't know.
Why don't we, since we were talking about the children, why don't we do the song he sang to them each night, which was Guardian Angels?
Oh, yes. Okay.
The music written by Harpo Marx. Now, I'm not sure which version you finally selected, but...
This is Harpo playing, far as I know. This is the Coke Show version, which actually like better. Nothing against Harpo, but Harpo Marx actually wrote the song and played the harp in the song. It's called Guardian Angels. Now, this one is unique. I don't think many of you have probably never heard this before. It's quite an interesting song. And again, the Marx brothers, indeed, Harpo Marx, is the one who composed it.
Now, the words had already been written as a children's poem.
Correct. Yeah. But he's the one who brought it together with the music. All right, here we go.
Guardian angels around my bed, joining me in my prayers. They hush the shadows when they dance about. They shoo away the bears. Guardian angels to comfort me if I wake in the night. They gather all my dreams. Their halos are my light. They dry my tears if I should weep. They tuck me in. They rouse me from my sleep. Guardian angels around my bed, standing by till I rise. There's one with shining wings who holds my hand and shows me paradise. Guardian angels to comfort me if I wake in the night. They gather all my dreams. Their halos are my light. They dry my tears if I should weep. They tuck me in. They rouse me from my sleep. Guardian angels around my bed, standing by till I rise. There's one with shining wings who holds my hand and shows me paradise.
That's the one I like.
I don't
detect much difference, actually. What no makes chorus, you like no that chorus. One in particular?
No chorus in this one. There's a chorus in the RCA version.
Yes. Oh, you don't like the chorus?
No.
Oh, I see.
I prefer just the gentle orchestral bedding and listening to him sing it.
And he also sings it. There are supposed to be angels. That's why.
They sound okay. Fine. They were angels. I think he could sing without angels, though.
I think he's the ultimate angel, of course. And the other thing we should note, really, that although we make a big deal of the fact that Harpo Marx, who wrote the thing, was playing with Mario in the studio recording, you can't actually hear him. So we may as well just go with the Coke version. Incidentally, another great thing that's happened in the Mario world was Bill Renane's publication of the Coke Show Anthology, which tells us exactly when all of the Coke Show recordings were made, and provides a lot of information about the sessions and his guest stars and the interaction with conductor Ray Sinatra, and the fact that they brought on at some point Constantine Kalinicus to conduct all the Neapolitan songs and the arias. It's all assembled in Bill Renane's anthology. He's done a great service with that. That's the same guy who publishes the newsletter we were talking about before.
Bill Renane, R-O-N-A-Y-N-E. He is also, I believe, running pretty much the Mario Lanza Museum and Institute
yes,
in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So, bravo, Bill, and thank you so much for all of your wonderful work that you do. Now, Guardian Angels, again, rarely heard. What you do hear of Guardian Angels is the orchestral views it. You hear just the music during Christmas sometimes, but no one's singing it, perhaps because no one could.
And hardly anyone else attempted it.
No.
In fact, I can't name
I don't know. I don't know one other effort but by anyone to record that vocally. It is recorded musically with a chorus of angels, but that's it.
You see, it's a tremendous challenge to a singer's, I'll use a technical term here, tessitura, because so much of it is up in the heights of a singer's range. They tuck me in, they rouse me from my sleep. But you've got to get those words absolutely crystal clear on very high notes within your range, which, of course, he does perfectly. But anyone else would find that a real challenge, especially a female singer, because the females tend to blur their consonants entirely when they go up high. They like to pretend that consonants don't exist.
Well, if you remember back to when we played, folks, a little bit ago, the home recording at the top of this hour, and you heard Mario, no recording studio, no tricks, in the living room, 24 inches or so from a microphone, and you heard him go down into the near baritone range and then up to the top. I mean, he literally could sing everything. It was extraordinary. And toward the latter years, his voice got deeper and deeper, and it actually was frighteningly deep sometimes. It was.
Well, I know there's a prejudice in certain quarters against anything that he recorded after 1952, but goodness me, if you go on to YouTube or listen to some of the better reproductions of the material from even the very last year of his life, and even the Christmas carols, and I know we're not including any of that tonight, but the particular passage in Silent Night, Sleep in Heavenly Peace, he actually negotiated that best in his 1959 recording when he was ill and tired, and that the overall recording was well below par, but it still had moments of the old glory.
I believe also the recording technology being used in Rome was inferior.
Oh, shocking. Yes, quite
very so. Grim, and I also believe that Clyde Smith was correct when he said the speed was off when the tapes were transferred. 1 or 2% can make an extraordinary difference.
But well, there may have been, but if so, Clyde overcorrected that, because when he put out his corrected versions, they were a whole half tone too high, and that shouldn't be the case either.
Yeah, but I think there was there were mistakes made in that last batch, but whatever. Okay, here we are tonight, the last of the year 2014. Now, what I'd like to do is play one more a poignant song that everyone, and the only reason I'm going to play it is because everyone knows this. And there were edits made in some of Mario's released material. As you know, you can read about it in Bill Ronayne's description of some of the recording sessions. There would be 6 and 7 takes, and they would cut one part and glue it to the other to make an acceptable take that Mario liked. That was rare. Mario was very good at 1 and 2 takes. One take, he was known as the one-take wizard among some circles. Mm-hmm. But they did edit. They didn't have digital editing. It would be a razor blade, a cut, and a glue. And that's what they would do. Now, this, what we're going to play now, it's You'll Never Walk Alone, and it is from Carousel, correct, or Showboat? I always get
now,
confused.
Carousel, but I'm curious. I'm not aware of any edits.
Well, there's one little sneaky one in there. All right, but it doesn't matter. You won't even hear it. It's just like I'll Walk with God. You don't hear it. Okay, so let's see what we got here. This is a wonderful, timeless song that we all, when things go bad, and hold off on the commercial, Todd, please. We can go right through this.
One of the things that make the music of Rodgers and Hammerstein great is the fact that so often the songs convey a thought worth remembering. I'd like to sing one of them right now. You'll Never Walk Alone from Carousel.
When you walk through a storm, keep your chin up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and
song. Beautifully done. Let's take our break and we'll come right back with Lindsay. Okay, and here we are back. Now, we have but one segment remaining already on this Christmas with Mario. What I'm going to do is we will make this program with Lindsay available in edited form with no commercial interruptions, and we will be posting it on the MarioLanza.net, or you can go to Mario on the left-hand side of my homepage and just click on that. So it'll be up there with our other, I think we have 3 other programs. This will be number 4 or number 3. I can't remember.
Yeah, no, this is number 4. Jeff Lynn's 4.
Very good. All right. Well, we'll do that. Now, we have about 9 minutes left. So what I'm going to do is play the Lord's Prayer next. It is about as appropriate a song as one can get. And again, I think this is transdimensional when it comes to organized religion. It surpasses all and speaks to the greater and highest values that we as humans are supposed to morally and spiritually embrace. It's a wonderful song. This is with organ only, and from Mario's 1952 film, Because You're Mine, his last at Metro that he was in. He made one more, the soundtrack, The Student Prince, and he had to fight to get them to include this song, and it is a magnificent performance to see on a 30-foot-tall screen in the theater. It will drive you right back through your seat. So let's see if you agree.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
I just want to make the point that if you're sitting in a movie theater and you have a 30-foot-tall Mario Lanza in front of you, speakers, voice of the theater speakers, and I've been fortunate enough to go to a revival theater and see The Great Caruso and I could not believe what I was seeing. The impact was so overwhelming that I was just slack-jawed. And Mario never took himself, you have to understand this, he felt he was the custodian of a gift. And many times he didn't feel like he was up to it or deserving of it. And it was something that people used all the time. Sing, sing, Mario. All they wanted him to do was sing. Understandable, but it made him feel like his worth as a human to them was a convenience. And I understand that. But he went with Terry to Radio City Music Hall when The Great Caruso premiered in 1951, and the line was clear around the block, all the way around the block. and they stood in line. MGM made him a putty nose that he could put on, and no one would recognize him. And he had his putty nose on, a bulbous nose, and he and Terry were in line, and they went in, and they sat toward the back of the theater and watched the movie. And every time he sang, people would stand and cheer and applaud. And Mario was so overwhelmed and tickled by this. Terry said he would take his shoulder and he would nudge me like, can you see this? Can you believe this? He was awestruck at what God had given him. And it was a funny little story. He was just overwhelmed by the audience reaction to what he did in that film. That's why it was the world's top grossing film of 1951.
And you have to pay tribute to MGM and Louis B. Mayer for taking the risk, because
absolutely,
they put out a film with 27 opera, uncompromising opera selections in a foreign language. And as you say, the result was people gathering around the block. It's been pointed out many times, Mario could sing from the telephone book and people would still line up around the block. So he brought that amazing, almost supernatural, certainly superhuman charisma to whatever he did. But with that Lord's Prayer, it's good hearing it there without, in fact, the orchestra and chorus superimposed that we heard in the movie, because there we heard it raw, just as he recorded it with the organ, and that the amazing climax, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever," that funny noise that was a Marioism that he made so often, and the final amen, who can resist it? And who wouldn't line up for hours around blocks and blocks and blocks to hear it?
Well, absolutely. All right, we are just about out of time, so what I'd like to do is say goodnight to you and wish you Merry Christmas, and then we're going to play our final selection of the evening. We'll go out with that, and Todd, just hold on to the music until we're well past it, and I thank you for that. Lindsay, it's been great, as always. The happiest of holidays to you and to all of you listening. And we greatly appreciate your interest and your company. And I'll talk to you soon, Lynn. So we will do that.
I hope so. And it's been my pleasure. And thank you for everything you do for Mario.
My pleasure. All right. Here we go with what I consider to be the greatest Christmas carol.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and sorrow pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. All on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, for night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night.
break.